Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Be aggressive. Be aggressive. Brr, it's cold in here. There must be some gargle in the atmosphere. I said, give me a G. G, give me an argle. Argle, I can't hear you. What did you say? I said, this is the gargle. The sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. This week's edition of Topical Satirical Non-Politics is a limited edition, collector's edition, family edition of the show. Our guest editors for this week are both good, solid family men. Mr. Andrew Zaltzman.
Hello.
Welcome. And Mr. James Nokise, welcome.
They're not my kids.
Let's plunge into this week's magazine, having a quick look at the front cover. Front cover this week is a picture of a YouTube family blogging celebrity who you don't recognise this week, but you will soon because it's only a matter of time before one of them is accused of a crime. The satirical cartoon this week is a family playing Monopoly, all of whom are holding large weapons behind their backs. Subtitled by the Tolstoy quote, happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. And that brings us into the body of the magazine. Our section one is the origins of family, a.k.a. the origins of sex. Sex apparently began in a lake in Scotland. Andrew Zaltzman, you've been in a lake in Scotland. Can you tell us about this?
I began in a lake in Scotland, and I was hauled out by an ancient king that proved his destiny, I think. Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, in a Scottish lake, as Robert Burns, the famous Scottish poet, wrote, bagpipes can do funny things to a fish. He might have written that. It's very hard to tell with Burns. He could have written anything. But they found this 385-million-year-old fossil, or pair of fossils, that they think were at it, hammer and tongs, and possibly the first ever fossils to do the dirty deed. Microbrachius dicky. I mean, really, whoever named that fossil really needs to grow up. And apparently they had little arms that would link the male and the female together. The male had a large L-shaped prongulum, which would then dock in what is described as the female's genital plates.
Oh, no.
Who I think was also a British rapper in the 1980s. And these plates are described as rough like cheese graters. And I mean, this surely just shows the miracle of evolution. The evolution didn't think, obviously, this has to f***ing stop now. Let's stick with spawning. It's in everyone's best interests. Evolution instead thought, oh, kinky, let's run with it. And now, just 385 million years later, there's a thriving Bulgarian fetish scene. So, you know, that's just the way the world has evolved.
I mean, it's truly astonishing. I mean, I know plenty of people who think of themselves as open-minded and experimental, but are you open-minded and experimental enough to try a whole new vector of copulation? Can you imagine being the first person to suggest this? In a world of spawners, you suggest docking with someone's genital plates.
Yes.
Well, if they're like cheese graters.
Like cheese graters.
I mean, how much do you like? I mean, I love Parmesan as much as the next person, but I think there's a time and a place for it.
I mean, I've seen this fossil. They are sort of linked, but they're arm in arm sideways. They've come inside. It's like a line dancing bang.
Which is the whitest of all sexual positions. I think what we've established here is that sex came before foreplay, because, of course, in modern times, if it's dry like a cheese grater, you're doing something wrong. And it's probably a sign to stop.
That sounds a the water, nothing's dry. They're thick.
Well, and yet, look, I'm just saying, if you're in water and it's like a cheese grater, you need to reevaluate your game, fish.
Well, apparently these are common fossils, but no one noticed the sexual organs until now, which, again, not a compliment to the Microbrachiosticae.
Also not a compliment to the, you know, the scientists studying these fossils, that, you know, that you can see two fossils who died in flagrante and not even spot it. But, you know, I mean, but it's not quite as sexy as the Bible story, is it? In terms of, you know, the origin of life. And so, you know, the Bible gives us a hot naked dude and a hot naked babe. It involves a snake and some fruit and an unseen controlling power manipulating their behaviour. I mean, that's basically everything that's good about 21st century reality TV rolled into one, but more so.
Well, they don't say that Adam and Eve were wandering in the Garden of Eden and then Eve ate the fruit of forbidden knowledge and suddenly noticed her docking plates and was ashamed.
But, I mean, we've got to give some credit to Scotland, where, you know, you wouldn't necessarily have thought that, you know, the many and varied possibilities of sexual congress would have begun in Scotland. But Scotland's always been a hotbed of visionary innovation, you know, road surfacing, telephones, economics, passing football and haggises. I mean, it's amazing how inventive the mind can be when there's no real incentive to go outside, kick back and catch some rays. So I think really, it's a great place for copulation to have... To have begun. The lead author of the report from Flinders University in Australia, Professor John Long, made the discovery as he was looking through a box of ancient fish fossils.
As you do.
But was this professionally or recreation? We all get our kicks in different ways, but, you know, he saw it and thought, hang on. But then the fish didn't stick with this. They then reverted back to spawning rather than docking on a cheese grater genitals. But that's sensible, isn't it? I mean, you try something out, you realise it's more trouble than it's worth, and you move on. And, you know, if only the rest of evolution had taken that lesson. Imagine how much more efficient we humans would be as a species if we jettisoned all the various forms of humpage and conflagroining that have proved such a distraction to us over the millennia. How much more advanced... I reckon the environment would be fine and we'd probably all be living in floating space pods. It would be awesome.
I do worry, Andy, that if we did that, we would have run out of porn about a decade ago.
Well, I mean, what spawning porn be? People just like... dropping deposits on the forest floor.
Andy, you asked that question, but I guarantee you there is an answer.
Spornography. Sure.
The Pornhub creators are just looking at this story going, yes, I see at least three new categories coming out of this news story.
Your ad section now, because if your diet isn't working, then maybe these will. Modern life isn't what it used to be. Your ancestors never had to worry about their careers or that thing on your armpit you're afraid to go to the doctor about. They lived simple, stress-free lives, and now you can live just like they did, with saber-toothed tigers. Just one saber-toothed tiger loose in your home and you'll never worry about your wife's fair again. Saber-toothed tigers. Try one today. Sometimes life can seem scary and unpredictable, like everything is just random chaos and no one really knows what's going on, but it doesn't have to be that way. With conspiracy theories, you can stand on solid ground again. Sure, the ground might be flat and the world might be flat and ruled by evil lizard people, but at least someone's in charge. And what kind of mind control drugs can they fit in half a glass of water? The real question. Life is short. Rice shouldn't be. Spaghetti, it's like long rice.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now, Now it's time for our adversarial family section, beginning with childminders against parents. Unfortunately, a battle, origins lost in the mists of time, that rages on today in the night. Apparently, parents can't decide how much they want their childminders to love the children that they are themselves neglecting. James Nokise, have you been following this story?
I have, but not in a creepy way, even though this story originates on Mumsnet, not necessarily the usual hanging place for male comedians.
I mean, there's a couple.
There's a couple. We're trying to get them out of the industry.
Gigs a gig.
What's happened is there's been a research into childminders saying they love you. To the children who they are minding. So they say, the child sometimes goes, I love you. The childminder says, I love you back. And this has been noted, and mums have come hard and said, this is the creepiest thing they've ever heard in their life. You shouldn't tell a child that's not your child. They struggle themselves to love the child. Why should someone else be able to love their child more than them? I think it has a lot of tones, I would say, Alice, of parents worried that pedophilia may be involved, because once you tell a child that you love them, obviously there's some commitments that these mums are expecting to go along with that. Really just a lot of self-projection onto innocent childminders.
I mean, Andy, have you been following this story?
Well, yes. I mean, when I saw childminders versus parents, I thought finally one of my TV ideas has been picked up. And the future of pugilism was in safe hands because, you know, mixed martial arts has really run its course. And there needs to be some element of, child custody involved in professional fight sports. But, I mean, to me, you know, is it appropriate for a childminder to tell a child in their care that they love them? I think it very much depends on a number of things. Tone of voice is one. I mean, it's not ideal if it is... Yeah, either loaded with sarcasm or threateningly gruff or ear-bleedingly loud. I think, you know, that is going to scar a child. It depends on context. It depends whether they add anything to the sentence. You know, if they say, I love you, ... more than your parents do, you can understand why the parents might get a bit upset about that. I love you, or at least I will love you when you tell me where Daddy keeps his secret stash of Krugerrands. You know, I love you so it's with great regret that I'm leaving you in the woods to find your own way home as an ancient Sparta-inspired child toughening exercise that will be for your own long-term benefit. So, I mean, it does depend on various things, but also, to me, it seems like a fairly unlikely scenario. I mean, it's just one of the things that we're getting worried about something that doesn't really happen, because, let's face it, other people's children are mostly f***ing annoying. So it just seems a very unlikely scenario that a childminder would say this. I think we're dealing with hypotheticals here.
I think the childminder should say it to the children, but only if they really mean it. And I feel like that could lead to inequalities in the schoolyard, because, as we all know, some children are more lovable than others. You know, it's a very inconvenient truth for everyone, and I'm afraid that,
yeah,
obviously your own children are much more adorable than other people's children. I don't understand this outrage. I feel like children should be told that they are loved as much as possible by as many people as possible.
That goes very, very much against British tradition, Alice. And, you know, we voted for Brexit really to get away from this slightly European attitude that children are things to be cherished and incorporated into your life and society, and back to the proper British way of really just ignoring them until they become human beings at the age of 18 or 21.
I think the true crime that's being committed here, Alice, is that the editor has forced a reporter to use the handles of the mothers on Mumnet, because as a serious journalist, they probably say, could I just say a mother? And they've got, no, you have to write crazy guinea pig lady. You have to write Mary had a little ram. You know, you've got to write take a letter, Miss Jones. And it really undercuts the years spent in journalism school to then be reporting on children being told that they are loved.
I have to absolutely disagree with you, James, because I feel like attaching these handles to these statements gives you some idea of the weight of seriousness with which you should treat their opinions.
But surely also it depends, you know, at what point is this expression of love being offered? You know, it surely depends whether it's acceptable or not on how long the child has been left with the childminder. You know, on day one of a new childminder, if it's within the first 10 minutes, that does seem, you know, a bit hasty on the part of the childminder, because, like I said, most children turn out to be really irritating. You want to build up your evidence before diving in. But say, if the childminder has had the child for 6 months after mum and dad have FRO'd around the world on a cruise ship, it's probably good for the child just to hear something positive. So, again, it all depends.
I think that's wise advice just for adult relationships as well.
Yes.
Andy, I remember the awkwardness when we first met, and I was like, I love you. Yeah. And you were like, oh, yeah. It's the green room's
yeah,
around
just wait
the
until I finish my yeah. set, James. Yeah. You know, that was, you know, running on stage like that. Yeah. And, you know, there's a time and a place.
A gig's a gig, mate.
I feel like, as with all Mumsnet scandals, that there's a lot too many of them saying, trust your gut. And I feel that perhaps they have untrustworthy guts. And maybe a slightly higher proportion of untrustworthy guts on Mumsnet than in other places on the internet. But that carries us on into our section of adversarial family stories, because Pope Francis, speaking of people with opinions that he's not afraid to put out there, very outspoken man, Pope Francis, keeps having opinions about things. He has shut down what is called...
Yeah, but Alice, that's going to... If you give someone their own special balcony, they're going to think their opinions are worth sharing.
I mean, true. Anytime I'm in a hotel room that has a balcony, I have got some strong opinions. And in this instance, strong opinions on same-sex marriage in the Catholic Church. He has said that the Church does not have the power to change sacraments, apparently closing the door for the Catholic Church on the possibility of same-sex marriage. James Nokise, you're the son of a preacher man. Can you tell us a bit more about this story?
No. Actually, I'm the son of a Presbyterian. He's been married 3 times. He's having a great life.
Have any of those marriages been to men, is the question relevant?
No, but he's still kicking. So, you know, we never know. We live in hope. But the Pope, obviously renowned family man and commentator, he has said that sacraments are made by God, not by the Church, which has got to be one of the bigger cop-outs in biblical history, because the entire Catholic Church, if he actually read the Bible, is built by man to represent God. It's right there. I mean, I'm just a humble Presbyterian.
And who made God in the first place? Arguably a bush.
Look, why would I rip the piss out of the Catholic leader? There was a whole Reformation fought over this kind of stuff. It's a very, very famous Lutheran, I think it is, Martin, some English guy. The point is that the Catholic Church has said there's not going to be any gay marriage. There's already legal precedent for it. It doesn't have to be seen under God, almost as though God doesn't want to see that kind of stuff, which, as per the normal jokes, is probably not top of God's top 5 lists on things he doesn't want to see from the Catholic Church.
Also, the Vatican's argued for not giving blessings, which seems a lot. You know, you can give... Blessings are a dime a dozen. Blessings are more common than childcare minders saying, I love you.
They bless ships.
If you bless a ship, and if there's a more unholy creature than a ship, I have yet to meet it. Andy, what's your take on this story?
Well, firstly, just on Martin Luther, I think slightly... I'm not sure. I think he was German. His full name was Martin Luther Blissett, and he wrote... he wrote a load of stuff, and he played football for Watford and AC Milan. But look, it's very confusing. It's mired in the depths of history. Yes, I mean, to be honest, you know, if everything has to be as the Lord established, then the Catholic Church should be banning all Twitter messages that are not carved into stone tablets, because that was very much how God liked
it. What's really ironic is that the Catholic Church, as Jewish people will know, Andy, is the remix. It's the the Anglo remix of Judaism. So... It turns out you can actually rewrite them in English.
There was a few curious things. In March of this year, apparently the Vatican ruled that the Church would not bless these same-sex unions because, quotes, it does not and cannot bless sin. Now, I mean, it can't bless sin. It can overlook, tolerate, institutionalise, camouflage and whitewash sin for decade after abusive decade, but it cannot bless it. Each of their own. I'm not going to tell them how to live their lives. I mean, it can and has blessed setting people on fire in the past, stretching people on racks and other activities which, to our non-expert, non-Catholic eyes, might look a bit on the sinny side of life. But interestingly, is a bit of etymology for you. Vatican is actually an abbreviation for the phrase "that I can do, but you cannot," because I have a big hat and shitloads of bling. So that's the origin.
Well, I just want to put it out there for any gay couples listening who would like to be married under or blessed under the sacraments of the Catholic Church. If you want to be blessed, have you thought of pretending to be a sneeze? Because That seems to work. If you want to trick a blessing out of someone.
Also, they've said that blessings for same-sex couples would be an affront to God. And I do worry about the amount of time God must spend being affronted. And it's no wonder that he's exhausted, because being affronted burns off a lot of calories for a start. But also, I mean, he must be knackered, though. It's no wonder he's so shit at his job these days, just spending all his time affronted by stuff. And now, obviously, we know that the Catholic Church don't want to say or do anything when it comes to, you know, same-sex relationships. They've got to be careful. They've got to cover that. They don't want to say or do anything that results in a massive increase in the number of volcanoes going off, earthquakes juddering out, or tsunamis splashing in, because God obviously is legally contracted to punish acts of same-sex biblical infraction with natural disasters. So they do have to be careful. But even so, I think it is time for them to move on and accept modern society as it is.
I think with so much disapproval, this is just jealousy, because they're aware that if you allow Catholic gay weddings, the priest will not be the one wearing the best dress.
True.
I think we should be fair to the Catholic Church. They're still cool with the sex. They're still fine with it's the marriage. They're still out there, you know, getting to frock up and having a great time. You know, that's, you know, they're still Raphaeling the shit out of it. Did I get a reference? Raphael died in an orgy. Was the painter for the Pope and died in an orgy. He's one of my favourite Renaissance painters.
I mean, there does seem to be a direct correlation between people who get most upset about same-sex marriage and the people least likely ever to be invited to a same-sex wedding. But I think it is essential cake jealousy.
Oh, for f*** sake, who invited the Pope? Jesus.
That's all the time we have for our Family Vendettas section, because now it's time for your reviews. As with every week, our correspondents bring in a thing to review out of 5 stars. James Nokise, what have you brought in for us?
Well, due to being still stuck in a different country to my parents, I've brought in, for family theme, text messages between me and my parents. So very quickly, Mum, on Friday, really loved your latest newspaper article. Thanks, Mum. Thought you'd enjoy it. Shall we have a bit of a catch-up later? I'm just watching the news in Melbourne. Looks a bit funny. It is. Let's do that. Maybe after dinner? Sounds good. All right, talk to you then. I give it 4 out of 5. She could have been funnier. She is my mum. Dad? Son, can you send through the thing you mentioned in your last call? Sure, Dad. What's your email address? It is the one you have. Okay, Dad. I don't think you've emailed me from it. I might have for your birthday. I didn't. Love you. So I'm going to give that a 4 as well, because that's pretty good for my dad.
That's good comedy, bad parenting, I think, that exchange. I didn't email you for your birthday. It's the best birthday present of all.
My dad, I don't know if you guys have encountered this. He has a PhD. He is very intelligent. He's a gifted orator. He is useless at the written like. It's amazing to me how he can write thesis and check thesis and be so bad in texting and emails.
Andy Zaltzman, what have you brought in to review?
Well, I've got some of my old relatives that I've reviewed. Great Uncle Herbert never really found true happiness, personally in a joyless marriage or professionally in a career in car park management. Herbert allowed a sense of generational bitterness to fuse with his personal lack of fulfilment, creating a distant, intermittently resentful elderly relative whom children beg not to sit next to at Christmas, despite his oft-repeated claim that he once ran over a corgi dog that he thinks might have belonged to the Queen. 2 stars. Great Aunt Grenevieve, frightfully tedious obsession with minor medical ailments, could be leavened by entertaining outbursts of irascibility about unwanted insects and underbrewed tea. An obsessional stickler for the rules when playing board games, Great Aunt Grenevieve lacked even a rudimentary humanity when dealing with anyone under the age of 40, frequently finishing conversations with the words, "Well, you wouldn't have been allowed to cry about something like this in the war, young lady stroke gentleman." Unverifiable rumours about a wartime incident with an American GI and the wreckage of a crashed Messerschmitt added to her otherwise minimal mystique. She would blush crimson whenever a war film was on, enough said. 2 stars as well. And Ian, second cousin once removed, age 7, soul-breakingly irritating, a one-child argument in favour of Armageddon. So those are my reviews of my clearly fictional relatives.
Now, in the family game of family life, we've come to the divorce section, which is a story that's come out recently about Melinda Gates and her dealing. A lot of stories have come out about Melinda Gates and her dealing with the divorce with Bill, but apparently she has thrown an extravagant bridal shower for her daughter at the sprawling lakefront estate. that was previously shared with her and Bill Gates, and apparently they looked like they were having a grand old time, which people are variously interpreting to mean that Melinda Gates is a heartless hussy or doing it right. Andy Zaltzman, you are happily married.
Yes.
Can you give us your take on this divorce story?
Well, I have mercifully zero first-hand experience of divorce. I mean, I was fascinated by what Melinda and Bill Gates said when they announced their split, that we no longer believe that we can grow together as a couple. And, you know, I've been married now for 17 years, and growing together as a couple is absolutely not something that you should be aspiring to. You want to just gradually sink into the sofa and, you know, watch increasing amounts of television. It's not about growing together, isn't it? It's just about, you know, ticking off the years until the merciful claw of the Reaper moves you on to a better realm. So the problem is they set their sights too high.
Well, it's also an odd thing because she's hosting this bridal shower for her daughter who's about to get married, despite the example of her parents having been divorced after 17 years of happy and productive marriage that has literally changed the face of the world in a number of ways, which could arguably be seen as a success of a marriage, and calling it quits at exactly the right time. Nonetheless, her daughter is marrying a horse guy, so we can all hope.
What, a centaur?
No, an Egyptian show jumper.
Oh, right, sorry.
Which sounds like a euphemism for someone whose parents also have a lot of money. I think you get an assessment of Jennifer's parents' wealth status by her bio, which is an equestrian aficionado and medical student.
Look, I think we've all been through breakups. It's just a part of adult life. And, you know, when you get your favourite CD or your favourite cushion and your ex doesn't take it, you feel pretty good. So I think if you just times that feeling by about 20 billion, you'll probably feel what Melinda Gates is feeling. Because I think any relationship you walk away from and you're one of the top five richest people of your gender in the world. I think top five women, top 60 men. I'm not sure what the inequality is up to at this point.
Well, apparently there's some dispute as to whether she owns this lakefront estate or whether Bill Gates owns the lakefront estate. It's called Xanadu 2.0, which is a reference to the Coleridge poem Kubla Khan and also his computer fortunes. But apparently Melinda is allowed to use it for fun things as well, such as throwing a party for her daughter.
If it's Xanadu 2.0, then you can be guaranteed that the next update, it's probably going to be really irritating and not actually improve anything, but just decrease the overall functionality of things for reasons that are beyond comprehension.
Isn't it strange? All the male billionaires are like, we're going to get in rockets and go to space. And then it's like the only female billionaire in the news is like, I'm throwing a nice party for my daughter.
Well, and the other female billionaire in the news, which is to say Jeff Bezos's ex-wife, is giving away huge quantities of money to various charities. Which, again, it's not shooting it into space, but it's still good.
Apparently, scientists have found the first divorced fossils just next to a lake in Scotland.
Yeah, the reasons for divorce being he was into some weird shit.
He's into some weird shit. And they also found a fossil of a slightly younger fish. But, you can draw your own conclusions from that.
Well, the slightly younger fish was more willing to experiment with her genital plates.
You got to wait till you're married before you start pitching line dancing style.
It's a big leap from spawning to line dancing style, I think, for all of us. That's all the time we have for the divorce section, because we've got to plunge into our pull-out section. Our pull-out section of the week. Five ways to survive lockdown with your family. Let's face it, spending time with family just isn't natural. If we were supposed to do it, then children would stay on the inside where they belong. But whether it's a birthday, a holiday, or a global pandemic that just won't go away, sometimes there's no avoiding family. Luckily, we've come up with the perfect tips for you to survive your family if you happen to be trapped in the home with them. Tip one, convince Dad he's in the Matrix. All you need are two identical cats and an enigmatic pill pusher. Once Dad is convinced, tell him he has to practice karate in the garage indefinitely or hide from Hugo Weaving, and you'll forget all about that noise he makes every time he sits down. Tip 2, secretly hypnotise your mother. Hypnotism's easy, it's just eye contact in a cape. And the applications are endless. You could help your mother stop smoking, ease her fears about the future, or convince her that you didn't spend that last 9 hours watching reruns of some terrible television show and eating ice cream out of the tub. Tip number 3, invent mythical beings. You've already convinced the kids that a rabbit gives them chocolate once a year and a fairy wants to buy their teeth. Why stop now? Tell them if they don't speak for a week, an owl will give them video games. Or the etiquette ghost gives spiders to children with bad manners. Or a unicorn wants them to make you breakfast. All you have to lose is their trust in you when they inevitably discover your lies. Tip 4, build a nursing home for Grandpa. Sure, actual nursing homes have become COVID orgies, but that doesn't mean you have to spend quality time with Grandpa. A nursing home is just a place you put old people so you can pretend they don't exist until they die. It doesn't have to be a building. A nursing home can be the attic, or the linen closet, or that box the fridge came in. So long as you can't see him, you don't have to feel guilty. Tip 5, convince the dog it's a cat. Cats don't bark. That's our section of tips for surviving your family during lockdown. All right, that's all the time we have for our pull-out section, because now we're on to the end of all family, our death section. Our family death section begins with green death. Apparently, on sale now is the option to be buried in a sort of a pod and have a tree grow out of you, which is either something that you definitely want or something that you definitely do not want. Andy, are you going to be buried in a compostable tree pod?
Well, look, I don't know yet. I mean, it very much depends whether my current experiments with the elixir of eternal life bear fruit. my current recipe is a couple of glasses of Spanish vermouth a day and watching a frankly heroic amount of live cricket. And it's working really well so far. But, you know, whether that results in eternal life, I guess time will tell. But I mean, it's quite intriguing, this. I think it's really, I mean, a demonstration of how f***ing incredible America is as a nation, that basically what you've got here is a process that has really been perfected by sticking people in the ground, as humanity has done since the very dawn of time. And America has added to it a classic example of unnecessary technological advance that you can now do in a special rotating pod, and charging people $10,000 for it. So they've basically monetized something that was already done perfectly well by the Earth. So it's heroic effort from America.
It's actually founded by three American Italian families, Alice. I don't know if you know. It was the Donatellos, the Garibaldis, and the Pellicinis, and a spokesperson for them said, "Yeah, it was really easy, you know. You get a body, you put it in a little box, bing, bada, boom. You got a beautiful flower, no questions asked." Well,
I mean, this is one of those stories which, on the surface, it seems very simple, but as you dig into it, it's incredibly complicated and annoying. There's a whole process to it. It's not just sticking you in the ground and waiting for a tree to grow out of you, which is the traditional way of doing it. But they put you in an insulated wooden box packed with wood chips and straw that for some reason has wheels on it so you can roll it around. So it's like if you have a compost bin so that you can agitate it.
Sounds like what you do with a live hamster.
And then after about 3 months, they open the vessel and then they filter out any medical prosthetics, and then they pulverize the remaining bones and put them back in. There's like a whole recipe, and they pull out your teeth in case you have fillings that might poison the tree, and then they rebury you after they've kept you in 131 degrees Fahrenheit for up to 72 hours to kill any bacteria. See, that just seems like a very long way around to just chuck him in that ditch, you know?
Yes. I mean, and also, it says that you're presented with a cubic yard of soil. But, I mean, you know, why do they need to give that up? They're still body-shaming people who've popped their compostable wooden clogs. And you've got to be careful. What do you do with the soil? You don't want to put it in your garden, looking out the window saying, "Oh, shit, next-door neighbour's bloody cat has just crapped on Auntie Mildred again." You don't want that, do you?
Well, you're not allowed to grow edible food because that would be immoral. Or what the Catholic God intended. One of the two.
Yep. I mean, it's just you don't want a sort of human tomato hybrid growing out of your vegetable patch, do you?
I mean, you don't.
Terrible. No, well, I certainly don't. The Colorado Catholic Conference easily my favourite football competition. They've opposed the bill.
I mean, the best of all of the clubs that can be pronounced k-k-k.
They've said that body composting, quotes, does not promote human dignity. But then, neither does dying in the first place. It's f***ing shit. Or getting old, getting decrepit, getting mad and confused. But they're all in favour of that. But not being turned into a bit of soil. It's hypocrisy. The only post-death service I would be interested in would be if there was a company offering guaranteed hauntings. That, you know, if you could pay people £5,000 before you died, to guarantee that they would then, you know, dress up as you in a sort of big white cloak and go and scare the shit out of your people that have pissed you off during your life. That I'd happily pay for that.
That would be a great service.
Do you know what doesn't promote human dignity is the Pope Mobile. I don't think the Catholic Church are the greatest barometers on what qualifies as human dignity.
You can have too much transparency. But I feel like the problem with the Catholic Church is that it's got transparency in all the wrong places. Like the worst Met Gala outfits.
Alice, what vegetable, if you were to die in a plot, would you come back as? I'd be a pumpkin patch if I could be any. I really love pumpkin soup. I'd love to share that with people.
James, let a girl preserve some mystery. That is the end of our family special edition of The Gargle. We're flipping through the ads at the back. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by pigeons, rats you can throw. Andy, have you got anything to plug?
Well, just the Bugle, the sister, uncle publication of The Gargle. Do listen to that.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Philosophy, a question's only as good as its lack of a definitive answer. James Nokise, have you got anything to plug?
Yes, my new series of my podcast, Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower, is up, which has more mental health conversations with people who have been in lockdown, which is quite fun.
Always fun. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I'm your host, Alice Fraser. Find me online at alliterative on Twitter and Instagram. That's A-L-I-T-E-R-A-T-I-V-E. Or find me at patreon.com/AliceFraser for a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up special podcasts and blogs, as well as my weekly Tea with Alice salons. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, The Last Post, Tiny Revolutions, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.